If you're here last week, you heard us talk about the importance of generous and joyful giving as kind of a part of a stewardship emphasis. And after worship, my wife, Jessica, gave me some little mixed news about how that went over with our daughter. She said, Karis, right in the middle of the sermon, she was impressed. You know, she said, the good news is, Karis was listening. She heard you talking about how you need to give God first. And the bad news was that she was holding on to a dime at the time, and she held on to the dime a little tighter and said, I'm not giving my money away. And I think, don't we all feel that way sometimes, right? I think we all have times that we really want to hold on to what we have, even if we know that God is telling us that we should do otherwise and maybe give it away. And I think that we would be especially likely to feel that way if we were paying attention to this morning's readings. Because Jesus is asking us to do some really hard things. He went to this rich young ruler and asked him to sell everything that he owned and give it all away to the poor before coming and following him. Hey, were you listening to that? Did that shock you? It should, right? I mean, you think, did Jesus really mean that? And does it apply to us? Do we have to give away every single thing that we own before we can follow Jesus? Or what does that mean for money and wealth? Is Jesus saying that all rich people are bad? Is Jesus saying that all money is evil? Will having too much money keep us out of heaven? How do we make sense of all those things? That's what I want us to think about. That's what I hope we would be thinking if we paid attention and were reading those Bible verses. And to begin with, I just want us to reflect on the place of money. First of all, the Bible doesn't say that money is evil, right? What does it say? The Bible says that the love, that was our reading today, it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not good or bad. Money is simply a tool, right? It can be used for good or evil purposes. And maybe to help us out, you know, think about a brick. No one would ever go up to somebody that had a big stack of bricks and say, boy, he's an evil person. He has lots of bricks, right? And we know that a brick is a tool. It's not good or bad, and however many bricks you have doesn't make you good or bad. But we also know that you can do very different things with this. If I'm holding a brick, I could throw that through a car window to break into it, right? Or I could use that same brick to go and to build an orphanage. Likewise, it's how we use our money, not so much how much money we have, that makes a big difference. We were created to love God and to love people. The Bible is very clear about that. Those are the central commandments. And money is a tool God gave us to do those things. But it's when we love money and we put money above loving God and loving people that money becomes an issue, that money can lead us into evil. Now, the second thing it's important to see is that all rich people are not evil. I think, and especially in the last number of years, there's kind of been a climate in our country where we want to label people, right, just by classifications. And if anyone has too much money, then they're automatically a bad or an evil person. But again, God's word clearly doesn't say that all rich people are bad. There are mean, nasty rich people, and there are mean, nasty poor people. Likewise, there are both rich and poor people who are very kind and generous. It's what's in your heart that matters, because your heart is what tells you what to do with the money that you have. Now, for example, we have a really good friend of the family back in Ohio that was a doctor, and he was very wealthy. He lives in a very, very large house with a giant movie theater on the inside of it. He drives a nice BMW and has a sports car. And some would see those things and would judge him and say, he is bad, he is evil, he is selfish for having all those things. But nothing could be further from the truth. We who know him know that he is one of the most humble, generous, amazing men of God out there. He has done countless mission trips. He's thrown lots of different parties for the church and for the community and used his house as a gift to others. He's hosted complete strangers who needed a place to stay. He hosted people from South America that were up and that had to have some different surgeries done. And he had them stay in his house for a number of months so that they could get those surgeries done. He's donated to countless charities and ministries. So his money has enabled him to do incredible things for God. Now, on the other side of the world, Jessica and I were traveling in West Africa, and we would have met a man that was named Pastor Alloy. Pastor Alloy had literally next to nothing, no spare money, barely had a house. The house was made basically out of mud. Some would look at him and would pity him. Some would think he must be miserable because of such little that he has. Some would say maybe they'd be suspicious or think he was a little dangerous because he's in a desperate situation, and maybe they'd think that he would steal from him. But both would be very wrong. Pastor Alloy was a church pastor. He served many congregations very faithfully, and he served with joy in his heart. But the most amazing thing to us is that even though we found out he had not been paid for the last 6 months, when our ministry team visited him, he, along with his wife and his little newborn daughter, hosted us at their house. And when they hosted us, they gave us just about everything they had. They threw this big meal for us. It was basically a giant plate of pasta with a little bit of tomatoes, and I think there was a can of beans that were part of that. And after the meal, he apologized that he didn't have more to give us, even though he had literally given us just about everything that he had. Now, those are two faithful men, one of them very rich, one of them very poor, but both of them were rich in love, and both of them used what they had to bless others. And how I hope and pray that all of us can follow in their example and be loving and generous with what we have, no matter how much or how little it is. So if money is not evil in itself, and if rich people are not bad, then why is it that Jesus told this rich young ruler that he had to go and sell everything that he had? Well, also ask this, why was it that that rich young ruler fell on his knees before Jesus? Why did he seek Jesus out and say, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Because deep down inside, in spite of all of his amazing outward appearance and his riches and his wealth, in spite of following the rules to a T, that man knew that there was something missing, and it made him question his salvation. It made him question his standing with God. And when Jesus saw that man's need, he responded the way he always does, with love. Now, some of us think that love means letting someone do whatever they want, but Jesus knows better than that. If you love someone, you want the best for them. And that means that you are willing to speak a hard word to them. It means you are willing to challenge them, to confront destructive behaviors, and to not enable them to continue doing things that harm themselves and others. I think that's a really good thing for all of us to hear, perhaps especially parents and children, as we go through those battles of what love is. And if you really love me, Mom and Dad, you would let me go out with my friends tonight. You would let me drive that car. You would give me all of these things. No. Love says, I want the best for you, not I'm going to let you do whatever you want. Many of us are familiar with the phrase, I'm telling you this because I love you. And if you're like me, you really don't want to hear that phrase, right? Anytime someone says that to you, if you hear, I'm telling you this because I love you, you know that it's probably going to be followed by some very hard and convicting words. And I think the reason that Jesus told the young man to go and to sell everything he had was because he loved him. And out of love, he looked into that rich man's heart and he saw his bondage to wealth. Maybe Jesus knew that he had lost sight of what was truly important, loving God and loving people. And so Jesus speaks this hard word to this young rich man and tells him to sell everything and give it to the poor, not to burden his heart or to set up some impossible standard, but to heal his heart and to set him free. But what does it have to do with us? What is it that Jesus is saying to us through this story? Well, first of all, I think we need to take his words very seriously and reflect on the place of money in our lives. We need to ask ourselves, does our money help us to love God and love people, or does it push us further away from loving God and others? Jesus clearly is saying, we cannot serve two masters, and we gotta serve somebody, but wealth is an awful master. In fact, anything aside from Jesus is a terrible, terrible master. And so out of love, I think we want to challenge ourselves this morning to look at the place of wealth. And maybe a very specific way of doing this is to simply take time this week to look through our credit card statements and our bank statements and ask ourselves, does the way I spend money lead me to loving God and others? What does my money tell me my values are? Am I using my wealth as God desires or as I desire? In other words, as we pray almost every single week, your kingdom come, your will be done, is God's will being done in my wallet? Now, if you didn't get one of these little cards last week that I handed out to everybody, I would encourage you to do so. They're still out on the tables on your way out this morning, and you just look for the bright orange color. I made it real easy to find. But again, these verses, it has Deuteronomy 8 printed on it. Remember the Lord, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce this wealth. And I think just putting these in our wallets or in our purses can be a great way of reminding ourselves that what we have is a gift from God and to think of God every time we use that money. But I also don't think that that necessarily means we all have to go out and give away everything that we have, right? Rather than making some kind of universal statement that every Christian must sell all their possessions before following Him, I believe what Jesus was saying to us today is that we need to be willing to let go of whatever it is that keeps us from trusting in Him and living in right relationship with God and with others. That might be wealth, but it might not be. It could be other possessions. It could be just a desire for popularity. It could be addictions. It could be the use of social media. Countless things can get in the way of following Jesus. And once we understand that our money and our time and our talents and all that we have are gifts that God has given us so that we can love Him and love people, then it will be pretty easy for us to see what it is we need to let go of. The hard part is actually letting go of those things, right? Actually doing what we know we're supposed to do, because if we're honest, we don't want to drop that dime. We don't want to set down the bottle. We don't want to stop checking our phone every 3 seconds, right? Friends, Jesus knows it's a struggle. He knows this is hard for us to respond and to follow Him, but He loves us too much to let us keep holding on to those things that suck our lives away and that damage our relationship with Him. It's because Jesus loves us that He's giving us a call to action this morning. He's challenging us to not only hear His word, but to actually do something about it. It's very easy for us to just sit back and listen to Bible stories. It's easy for us to sit and listen to sermons. In fact, we could listen to 10,000 sermons, but our lives will never change until we go out and actually act on what we hear. That's why one of the most important things we can do when we gather together, where we're reading God's word or hearing a sermon, is to ask ourselves two questions. Lord, what are you saying to me now? And what do you want me to do about it? What are you saying to me? And what should I do about it? And of course, when we ask those questions, we can expect to be challenged. Because make no mistake, Jesus is intending to challenge us today. But also remember that the reason He challenges us is because He loves us and He wants the best for us. Like the rich young ruler, Jesus is looking at us with love, and He sees the sickness in our hearts. So He's challenging us to throw off anything that is getting in the way of following Him, loving God, and loving neighbor. So what about you? What is it that keeps you from following Jesus more fully? What is it that prevents you from loving God and loving your neighbor? What is it that you hold on to so tightly? Maybe it's wealth, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a need to please others or be liked. Maybe you hold on to fear and anxiety more than you hold on to Christ. Whatever it is that's holding you back, hear Jesus' invitation today. He is calling out your name. And help us hear that. I just want to count to three and have all of us say our name out loud, okay? Everybody got that? So, 1, 2, 3. Dan, I love you. I want to set you free. Let go of everything that is holding you back. Take my hand. I will lead you through this struggle. Trust that I am enough. Trust that I will take care of you. Walk away from those awful masters that will only enslave you and follow me, the only one who can set you free. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving us enough to die for us. Remind us that you died for us so that we could live for you. Lord, I do pray for each one of us here this morning, for everyone listening on the radio, that when we hear your invitation today, that we would come to you and release all those things that hold us captive. May we not be like that rich young ruler who refused to let go and walked away in deep sadness. But instead, by the power of your Spirit, may each of us joyfully throw off all of those things that destroy and follow you into a life of love and freedom.